Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone. It's Deanne on the Deanne Burley Show on the Detectors Radio Network. Very sorry I haven't been on for a while. I had a number of things happen, strange things, to say the least. I've been trying to help a lot of people out with things that are going on, not only in Illinois, but outside. And because of those things, you know, the thing is that we don't have any true government anymore. I know everybody's going to be rushing to the polls to vote, but really, people, really, have you even gotten it yet? Every time you rush to polls and vote, has there been any significant changes in anything in your community? Anything has changed to help you and your community out? Is it not that you're paying more taxes and less services? Are you not looking at the fact that they can have two, three levels of pensions working in state, federal, and various other positions, and they don't lose their pensions? You do. They vote in for you not to have the pensions, but they have it, and plus they have salary. They even have caps on ages of how long you can work in jobs, cap on your age, and then you get discriminated against. Age discrimination is going on rapid right now. The elderly cannot even hold on to jobs because of the new factor of people out there trying to get work. And those people trying to get work are being basically herded into low-paying jobs, and the seniors are out there already in low-paying jobs are being herded out. And herded out means to Soylent Green, like factory. What I mean by that is that if you're a senior today, just don't have any hopes of any future of going anywhere and planning a great trip because, you know, this country to me is turning quickly into a Nazi Germany society. Medical is just ridiculous. Healthcare, nonsense. Child care, child enforcement of protective laws, situations with schools, all ridiculous. What are your kids learning? Early age sex, whether or not they're gay or whether or not they're straight. Are those important, significant things for them to learn? Or is it more important for them to learn and understand the tools they need to be able to work in this society? But I mentioned the word work. Is there going to be work in the next generation? Are we going back to caveman-like living? A society where we just basically grunt and get food, have sex, and just go back to our dwellings. And our dwellings might be caves right now because, again, they're gathering up more and more of these homes they're foreclosed on. And that's not over yet. We're just seeing that little tail end of the housing bubble. Our scenario, our lifestyle is radically changing. Mine changed, and yours will too. Even though it's a situation that in your life right now, you might say, oh, I'm in a cozy position. I'm working. I'm looking at my color TV. I can look at a sports channel. I can go to a shop and buy food. I don't see this. But again, when you get up in the morning, living day by day to your check, and you go to work and they decide to basically send your company overseas because the labor is cheaper, and they don't need you anymore because your age has been equated through actuary work of whether or not you have reached the age that you're going to become a burden, financial burden to the company. Then when you become that, then the next thing, you're out the door. They will set up patterns of things. Oh, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. Oh, things that don't even make sense, they just do. Try to play it off of, well, Joe, you're getting up there in age. You're kind of senile. You don't know what's going on. This is a new wave. You got to keep up with the momentum. You got to keep moving forward. And the seniors that know what's going on, that are very aware of this, try to play into the game. But the thing is, you can't play into the game because they have the game already spun out already. Spun out. Now, I'm going to put these in breakdowns because, again, I'm going to do a number of programs. I haven't been on the air because of my illness. Now, the illness got even worse and exasperated from a car accident I had on the 12th. Strangest accident you want to even know. Finally, I was able to get a car. Got a car. I was driving, and it was a considerably cold morning. Temperature had dropped down in Illinois. A couple of days before, it was quite warm. Interesting enough, this particular morning was a freezing morning. It started snowing. It was like icy and raining at the same time. I was driving down the street, and all of a sudden, I hit black ice. My God. Normally, cars I get have front end and rear end, protection. I don't know if this car did, but I ended up going across the whole lane of traffic, ended up going over the curb and going downward on a kind of slope down area in the grass, which was wet with ice and snow. I hit a tree, folks. The tree was pretty large and snapped at the top of the tree where the main branches were snapped and fell over. Then the car bounced back, so I tried to gain control of the steering wheel. I made a left turn as it was sliding still down this hill. It slid into a hill, and I was on this icy area. I could see all of this. And it was the strangest thing, because everything everybody sees in a movie, it happens that way. I mean, literally, everything was in slow motion. Everything. I could think through everything that was happening before me. But the weirdest thing, folks, was not me walking into the white light. It was some type of veil placed over my head, it seemed. It was the strangest, eeriest thing. It was like a white kind of thing that was kind of like a gauze-like material that you could see through. But it was a veil. And I could hear stuff, but it was like I was inside a bubble while these things were occurring. I felt no pain. I felt nothing. But I was very clear in thought. And thank God I was. First thing I did was I took off my seatbelt. When I took the seatbelt off, the car was skidding towards the middle of the pond. I got to the middle of the pond, and then the airbag deployed. And as it deployed, it didn't come all the way out. It just went partially out, luckily for me. So I was able to get past the seatbelt, get the door open the car, and then I grabbed what I could for belongings, my credit cards and things that I had in the car, because I knew the next thing was that they were going to come and get the car. And the next thing, if I had anything important, it would have been stolen. So still, I hurt my knee. My knee went up against the dashboard. I hurt it very bad. Bruising, purplish marks. I don't know what all was on my leg, but it was extremely excruciating pain. There was no one there to help me, but yes, there was. It was somebody standing on the top of the road looking at me and screaming down, "Lady, you're on the pond. You're on the pond. Get out of there." I didn't even realize I was in the middle of a frozen pond, folks. Frozen pond. Now imagine that. A frozen pond. Now, the days before, the temperature was pretty mild. This particular morning, it was cold, but it was God's grace that that pond was frozen. Because if it wasn't frozen, I would not be here talking to you at all. I had substantiated injuries from the seatbelt. The seatbelt fixed itself close, tight to my throat, leaving a burn mark and a very huge, painful lump in my middle of my chest. A hardened lump that has not subsided or disappeared at all. It was called a hematomic bleed under your chest. But the thing was, well, I'll tell you what happened with that later. Between that and my knee, I was able to scurry against this ice and get up to this area and try to walk up the area to get to where I needed to go. But the guy that was at the roadside, he never came down. I had to work my way up myself. And I got there, and he held me and stared in my eyes and kept on saying, look deep in my eyes, look deep in my eyes. And at first I was saying, is he trying to hypnotize me? And I was suspicious of what was going on because it was so strange. And then this other guy across the street in a kind of like an orange smock or something, he kept on yelling out, I saw the whole thing. I saw the whole thing as the ambulance arrived. Now, again, I was injured, substantially injured, not minor injuries. I would say major. Because right now I had whiplash, I had injuries to my neck, my shoulder, could have been dislocated, but you know what, they never checked. I had pain in my knee, bleeding because it was a huge bruise, which is still there on my leg, on my knee, huge, huge bruise on my knee, swollen and tingling in my legs and feet, dizziness, the whole shaboodle. That was my accident. The car I only had for 3 weeks laid in the middle of this place, but some interesting enough, the only damage was to the front of the car. And there was some damage inside, but it was something that I could turn the key over because I tried it, and it did turn over, but I didn't try to move it because I was on a frozen pond. So the ambulance arrived, and I had my things, and I got in the ambulance, and I ended up at Bolingbrook Hospital in Bolingbrook, Illinois, the Ventus Hospital, clan it is. I went in the emergency room with the clothes I had on from the accident. Not one IV was started because they couldn't find any veins to start in the emergency vehicle. So when I got in the hospital, all they did was x-ray of my chest, several x-rays of my knee and of my leg. They also did a CAT scan of my brain. Not one piece of skin was removed to look at anything on my neck or any bruises or anything, lacerations or anything. None of that was checked. The person that came in the room, a man, identifying himself as my doctor, sat there and told me, well, you know, everything looks good. No lab work was taken. No IV was put in my arm. Nothing. My blood pressure was quite high. They did give me one blood pressure pill, folks, and they gave me a Tylenol. And then they sent me on my merry way. That's what they told me. You can leave. I was saying, but aren't you going to look under my clothes and see? No, I don't need to, was what was the response. I don't need to. So as this was going on, I was appalled to the treatment. So I called the administrative office in the hospital and told them at Bolingbrook what was going on. So the administrative office called down the ER, and this person, the doctor, identified himself as, came and rushed in the room while I was on my cell trying to call in to my insurance carrier for my car to let them know that my car was in a vehicle accident. He came in and rushed and grabbed my cell phone out of my hand and took it and shook it at me and said, you're not going to be on the phone while I'm talking to you. And I said that you're fine and you're leaving. And I don't see anything medically that needs to be treated, so you're leaving the hospital now. Storms out. Nurse behind him. I was just shocked. Before he said that, by the way, he said, oh, you called the administrators. He knew I did. So then when the nurse came back, I said, what was the name of the doctor? You know what? She wouldn't tell me. In fact, a couple of other aides came in. They would not tell me the name of the doctor. It went on for a while. I called a friend up and asked her if she could come to the hospital. Now, all in all, I was trapped in the hospital bed. Both sides of the rails were up. Could not move. I couldn't even stand because my knee at this point was hurting so excruciating with the pain and burning sensation in my neck. Burning like there was some kind of stabbing pain through my chest to my heart, none of which was addressed. And then when the nurse came in, I refused to sign the papers, and I wrote on there, failure to treat. She stormed back out and came back, and I asked her the name of the doctor again, refusing. And then the next thing I know, folks, 3 security men came in to my room, told me I had to leave. 2 minutes after she had left. Not enough time to even figure out how to get the railing down, which they have to get down themselves. It's not something you can do from inside the bed. I had no wheelchair, no other device to get out of the bed. but they sent three security guards to remove me out of the hospital emergency room. Well, I was in pain after coming in a car accident that severe. The police basically rolled it up as a minor accident, you know, not anything major, you know, but another black person, who gives a care? That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I've been treated all along since I've been in the suburban areas. I hear people talk about the issue of black and white in the city, but they don't support or speak of what goes on in the suburbs of the neighboring community of Chicago. This is worse, or maybe worse, because of the fact that there are more blacks moving out, and the more that come out, they don't want. We're the first to get ticketed. We're charged huge amounts of fees for things that we shouldn't be ticketed for, and we're treated horribly in monkey kangaroo courts. And the thing is that there's no justice whatsoever because the system wants you out. They want you out of the community. They don't want you in the suburbs, and they definitely don't want you in the cities because the cities they have other plans for, and it's not for black or white. Now, what you think? Whole other scenario's getting ready to pop open. So anyway, I got my friend came, and she, former nurse, sat there, and she was appalled, and she said, well, you know, she needs some help. And I asked him, I said, can you wrap my leg at least so I can stand? This was in the waiting room when another man came out. All of us still refused to give me the name of this person that claimed to be a doctor. So anyway, what happened was finally somebody gave me some paperwork, and I saw the person's name. And guess what, folks? It wasn't even a doctor. It was a doctor's assistant or a doctor or a nurse practitioner that saw me. I was not seen not one time by a doctor at that point. So when my friend came in to cover up things, they suggested, oh, since you have chest pains, let's readmit you. So they changed it around, switched the game around to chest pains relating to maybe congestive heart failure or something else. They didn't take into consideration I had brain bleed injury. They didn't take into consideration anything. The main thing was to get me in and out. Now, what happened to me when I had the brain bleed injury, the thing was the same thing in the same hospital, rushed me out because I ran out of insurance money. So once you run out of insurance money, they don't treat you at all either. So it was either a combination of me running out of insurance money or the fact that they just did not want to treat me or racial profiling, because I've talked to a number of people that have gone to Bolingbrook Adventist Hospital and they've had the same complaint. In fact, if you go online, there are 3.0 hospital as far as hospitals rankings are concerned. But it's the only one you can go in the community. If you go here to the hospital by ambulance, that was one way alone just to go to the hospital in the community. The thing is, it's outrage and deplorable because, again, I'm still dealing with the pain from the injury and all of the frustration because I had just gotten my car, and my car now is totaled. So I have no vehicle again. So I'm at square A. I have no money, no vehicle, and back to square A. The game even gets even more interesting as it goes. Prior to all this going on, I was getting into it with the mayor and the chief of police because of situations dealing with rapes and situations with teenagers being attacked and bullied at the high school, and the police refusing reinvestigation, and also police refusing to investigate death threats and things made to families. It's interesting. If it's an African-American family, no investigation, and that goes throughout Illinois. So, you know, I look at people, there's people on Facebook sitting and get, you know, oh, somebody offered me $900, I'll go cut and pick, you know, and feel, you know, if they pay me $900 an hour. And I'm like, no. You know why? Because, see, that's bringing back symbolism to where we are currently and just throwing it right back in your face. Well, we'll give you some money, but if they did give you that, they're going to get it back on the back end. Probably insure you for it, and then some kind of bulldozer roll over you, and then they make money off the end, because the bottom line, you're not going to get anything, because it's just not the system. The system is set up for you to fail and not to have a dime. It is horrible out here, folks. If you're disabled, you're sick, and people look at you like you're a strange monster on the street. We have lost our immune, we're immune to humanity right now because we've seen so blatant much of decadence and decay and chaos and drug use and alcohol use and levels of abuse to children. We just have gotten to the point we're so desensitized by everything. We don't notice what's going on right before us. And we don't give a care because, again, these schools are horrible. Now, addressing the issue of the Oscar, I happened to see that on television. And it was interesting enough that Vice President Joe Biden jumped up there for this movie Spotlight, which came out and came out kind of like the other movie last year, the one that won Oscars and stuff, which was Birdman. And that was something that was just entered into the movie arena, and they popped that in and came out with a whole lot of awards. Well, the same thing now is the thing in regards to the situation with this thing with the Spotlight. Now, Spotlight is about young people, young men and women being raped and molested by priests. Okay, very important subject because it is going on. But again, the movie addressed that only that issue, but they didn't talk about the issue of children being raped in the school or children being molested by school teachers or children being molested by individuals within the community and all of it being hushed up and not enacted against by law enforcement. It's almost condoned. If you go to the police, they say, well, you know, we don't handle that. Or they make a big game out of it like it's a joke, folks. And then Joe Biden comes rushing on the stage and taking the mic at the Oscars saying, okay, well, you just contact this number in Washington and we're not toying with this anymore. This, we mean action. Mean action to what? Just the week before, I had gone to the senator of my county, Will County, and he didn't do anything. And the thing is, these people get your paycheck from your taxes, and they don't do anything, including chief of police and the mayors and all those folks that you're talking about running out and voting for. Even Donald Trump was under suspect because the bottom line is all of them have big money, and they don't need your little money or your little non-significant self to do anything. They just want the importance of a position to throw a ranking on their resume or to look good in a big, huge setting in a nation that they can control. They could care less about you because you're the little guy. And until you get that, see, I realized that a long time ago, and people tell me, well, just be quiet, don't say anything. But the thing is that the people that made change are the ones that said something. The people that stood by and did nothing were the ones that ended up in the ovens at the death camps in places like Auschwitz during World War II. Now, going back to the hospital situation, talking about Auschwitz, I think every time when I go near a hospital now about Joseph Mengele, because, you know, this is Mengele-type scenarios of health care. We have Obamacare saying on one end you have to fill out paperwork to make sure that you get under the Obamacare umbrella, but the treatment of patients is just outrageous. The only thing they're interested in doing, they get kickback from pharmaceutical companies, and the main thing, of course, that they're pushing is the fact that they can give you painkillers, sedatives, a morphine, so you can become a morphine addict so that you can get on the street and take more drugs to get off of the morphine, or drink more alcohol so that they can get you for driving under influence of alcohol. The thing is, they have a cycle and system set in place to make money off of you every possible way that's up and down. And the thing is, once they get elected, they're in. Stop electing lawyers. Because, see, the whole course of things, all these people that you're electing in the office are lawyers, businessmen, people that are looking at how they equate to make money off of you. Not looking at you as a person, not looking at you as a person that bleeds and needs help. You know what they're looking at you? As a commodity. They're exchanging you as a commodity. Your birth certificate is worth dollars to them. Your Social Security card is just a reference number so they can plug all the stuff into the system. your medical records now with the police department. It's coded in into the actual computer in the squad car. And if they mark you, they can put a stop hold on your vehicle while you're walking down the street, and they can stop you because they got picture and face recognition software now, and they can stop you on the street for anything, and it could have in their squad car orders to shoot on sight, and you won't know it. Maybe that's the reason why all these African Americans are getting killed. Maybe somebody coded in the system that they need to be killed for whatever reason. Maybe they make somebody mad. And you think it's about something else, and it entirely has to do with the fact that they made somebody mad and they coded it out in the squad car, and it says shoot on sight, so they get shot and they're dead on the street. I try to explain that to these groups that march, but they're not listening because they're into the march and they're into this thing that makes it look real good because they're part of this organization that is functioning by itself and not functioning together, because if it was functioning and it was functioning properly, then we would come back to the conclusion that I did that, hey, why are we voting these suckers back into office? New or old. Why are we paying them huge salaries? If you don't get pension, they shouldn't get pension. If you don't get a pay increase, they shouldn't get a pay increase. If they're not doing their job, if you can get fired, they can too. The least way that we have, the least way that we have to fight back, the least way, is to hurt them in their pocketbook. Don't give them access to your money. But again, we keep doing that because the thing is, we're programmed for this failure. We're programmed into slavery. We have not left slavery, whether you're black and white. Let me give you a little history here, black history. The first slaves to come in the United States weren't black people, by the way. It was white, indentured serfs that came out of places like jolly old England. They owed debtors' court. So they paid off their debt. They were sold as slaves to plantation owners here in this country. And they were here to tilt the fields and do whatever they were supposed to do. Some of them went to Australia. Some of them went to New Zealand. Some of the women, even though under protest, they had to marry people they didn't even like in order for them not to be condemned to a horrible prison situation over there in Europe. When they got to the point where they started blending in too much, then they decided to move forward to another type of person to put in these prisons. And I'll be right back with you. Hold on. Sorry, I will continue. Just give me one more second. I'm trying to move around. Like I said, I have some problems health-wise. So hold on. Yes, the operation of the society is for you, it's not for me, it's for them. And the main thing, the main course of the food is us, our young people, the people that we cherish, our children, allegedly. I was in the hospital again last night, going to Silver Cross Hospital, same treatment or worse I received. They saw me, and I came in there. In pain, couldn't hardly stand. I'm out of breath right now, I'm sorry. I couldn't hardly stand. I was in excruciating pain. My blood pressure was 180 over 113. And they basically denied me service again. Because again, I'm in the system. They got me in the computer because one hospital got angry and they put you in the system and they badmouth you. To the one to the next. Even the police have the report too. The police have a report that states in there that you're problematic. So when you drive down the road, they pull you over. And they keep harassing you and keep harassing you until you run out of town. I talked to individuals here that told me that individuals they know got ran out of the town. Run completely out of town, out of Bolingbrook. Because they made some official mad. So they put them in the system and they keep harassing them until they run away. And then they cannot, never, ever try to get back in. So the whole thing is unreal. Unreal. Totally unreal. And the thing is that you, the listener, as the only person, and only person out there, can make changes to any of this. But the thing is that are you willing to do this? Are you willing to step out of the grid and do? Many of us can't. Many of us act the wrong way. We get out there and get mad and get militarized and stuff, and that's not the solution. They want that. Because as soon as you do that, then they have a basis to come after you. And that's all it's about, coming after, taking away your rights. Moving to the other direction of this story and program, dealing with people that are 50 and up. Once you reach 50, your need in the society has dwindled down to zero. They do not need you. You have become a burden. You're a threat to them. So as far as you're working, as far as you being able to have a course of living, as far as you being a human being, you're not allowed in any of that. You're not allowed a privilege of anything. The only thing you're here for is to feed the system. You're feeding at another huge level because the need has become financially powerful to them. You are a new victim, a victim of them needing to feel a way to make money off of you. This is the reason why they prescribe morphine for pain. They don't check to see what injuries you have anymore. The whole thing is giving you medication. The more medication they give you, the more they can control you and your life. This is the reason why you got so many people out there that they claim have dementia based on the drugs they're taking. People are told every single day, I have friends of mine that are up there in age, and they're given these medications. They don't read it. They just said, my doctor told me to take it. And the stuff that they're taking might be counteracted to another drug that they have. And the other drug that they have might cause them to have diseases like diabetes. Some of these drugs cause you to have diabetes. Some of these drugs cause you to have dementia. Some of these drugs cause you to die. And then if they're giving you two or three of the same type of sedative and tranquilizers and stuff in one setting, guess what the impact is on you and your body? Some of the blood pressure medicine will stop you from eating completely. It stops your desire for food, water, and everything. In fact, one of the Caliban kids, one of them that got shot at the incident, he had got a bill and sued the government because of these psych drugs that caused these kids, the Caliban kids, to go out and cause those murders. Those kids were on psych drugs, folks. And the psych drugs happened because those kids were raped. And that goes to the other level in regards to these rapes that are going on all over the place. The rapes are happening. You know why? Because, again, law enforcement turns its eyes to rape. Find the rape a kid. Trying to do all these things. And you know what also is interesting in all this? The equation of nightmares that are going on. The thing is, all these people that we're talking about get paid out of your taxpayer dollar. Every last one of them has your dollar in their hand when they take their check and cash it. They are working for you, allegedly, but they're not. They're working for law enforcement, protecting themselves from them losing out on their money. Kind of like the Robin Hood story, the sheriff of Nottingham protecting the kingdom because the kingdom was the one who was blessing him with money and gold and jewels and more. So what do you think it is now? No different. And the outcome is going to be the same here. Because the thing is, we keep going through these cycles. We keep going around the circle and keep repeating the same thing over and over again. Because you know why? Because we don't learn from the first cycle to the next. It might look modern now, but you know what? Pretty soon it won't look modern because the way that they're moving on this, pretty soon nobody's going to have any housing. You're going to have to go to tenements. It's going to be a situation where we're going to be almost like during the Nazi Germany reign, everybody's going to be in the ghetto.
Yes, the ghetto came from Germany. So the ghetto thought processes, you are going to be in a place where a whole lot of people are everybody wants. You're not needed anymore. You're just here as an eater and feeder on society they don't need. So the truck comes by and gives you a couple little rations to live on. They're working on putting together these little FEMA camps, which back then wasn't FEMA. It was Auschwitz death camps they were putting together because they had too many people to get rid of. And it's interesting, every time the society reaches a certain point, they do the same scenario. This is not anything new. They do it time after time. It's just that we don't recognize these cycles because we don't look at things in cycles. Like when the economy and dollars getting ready to change, it happened before. It happened. Look, it happened with the Union dollar, the Confederate dollar. The Confederate dollar went to absolutely no value at all. And then all of a sudden, the Union dollar became popular. That there was no more gold. It was just the Union dollar. So all those people had Confederate dollars. They had no money. So their plantations started failing. The South started falling down. The old structures of these old homes started disappearing left and right because the one class that they had, they had the plantations that they set up. They didn't need them anymore. The extremely wealthy plantation owner was then forced into bankruptcy and had absolutely nothing because they were there set up as well. They were just there for ways and means for England to collect money and control land. France, too. Then you had the folks that were from Spain and various other countries taking over territory. That's the reason why we sat there and had to sit there and listen to the and the territory and various things during the time we were in school, because they were trying to teach you a little basis of it, but they don't want you to know everything, because if you did, then you would have been prepared to where we sit right now. The hospitals today should be shut down for what they're doing. They're billing people $15,000, $20,000 for a visit for 2-3 days, but yet when you go in the emergency room, they won't even treat you. If they triage you the correct way like they used to, then a lot of people wouldn't be as sick as they were. So this is all a setup because, see, if they don't treat you and send you home, they're going to be 100 million times worse so they can hawk out these damn drugs that are pharmaceutical drugs they're using these drugs for this nightmare. The pharmaceutical industry is making so much money off of you. Morphine, Depakote, all these drugs, all of them with horrendous side effects. You're all on them. Your kids aren't even supposed to be on it. Your kids are on this stuff. You know why? Because you're allowed. You don't even read the prescriptions that, oh, this medicine happens to cause your child to go to sleep. But then you don't read that medicine can cause your child to get depressed and go berserk. You give it to them. You get a check on the back end. Black people, listen, they give you those check monies for those for your kids to be at Ritalin and Prozac and stuff for a reason. That's not for you just to collect money. They're making money off of you. They keep you without jobs and uneducated so that you land at the back end some kind of way of making money. So you use the fruitful gain of using your kids to get out Ritalin and stuff when all you have to do is take them out to get some entertainment, let them run off their frustration from being in school or being cooped up all day. Instead, what we do is we live in these dwellings, look at games, kids don't go out, people don't see anything in life, don't know anything other than what they utter and see on television and then these video games and stuff. And then when it becomes a situation, say that everything breaks down in this country tomorrow. Say that there is no economy. Say you can't get any SNAP benefits. Say you won't have your house and you're out in the street and the weather temperature is fluctuating from being hot and cold. You don't know what it is. You have no weapon. You have no way to defend yourself. You have no food. Now, the worst thing, too, is did you recently, in a newspaper, they had a situation that
they're taking rats and they're mushing them up and making them into buffalo wings. Buffalo boneless wings is made out of rat, they are claiming. Now, how the heck is that getting past the Food and Drug Administration? You're paying money to them, aren't you? So why are they not investigating and stopping this? The thing is, we're eating stuff we don't even know what we're eating. Our health in this country is going down the tube. But yet, we're being forced to sign up for health care with this Obamacare program, which administrators in the hospitals are using it as a measure to use to get more money from pharmaceutical industries to pump up your child, you, elderly people, with dangerous, untested drugs that they put in the market. They have huge amounts of side effect warnings, and they're in your system right now. And once you start taking it, the reason why they're showing you those zombie shows on TV, that's what you're going to have on the street. Imagine taking crack away from crackhead, telling them there's no more on the street. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if somebody in your family has diabetes and then something goes down and you can't get any diabetic medicine for that person? Everything in this country is addictive. It's addictive, addictive, addictive. We're addicted to television, video games. We're addicted to everything that's out here. They got us addicted to. And the thing is, when you're addicted, they can control you. And once they control you, then you've got. And then the thing is that what I'm looking at here is right now the trending of what's happening. Gas prices are going down. Like I said, this automobile accident I had was very much under suspect. But then again, I did hit black ice. But then again, just that same day, I went to the police department to complain about them giving me a handicap ticket, which was told to me at my place that I was working that I could park in this one particular spot. And lo and behold, they told me that no police come in there. And then lo and behold, I got a ticket. And I was going over to the police department, which I had visited just before the accident, strangely enough. And then I had the complaint in regards to the situation with somebody being victimized as a rape victim and no investigation. And then I had these other people contacting me from Vermont. He's going to be on the air, too, talking about this girl that got murdered that was involved with this thing with young people getting involved with sex in schools and things like that. And the girl was murdered, folks, down in Vermont. This one detective has been on this case for the last 12, 15 years, cannot get anyone to investigate it. You know why? Because they wanted to open investigation on it. You know why? Because the same thing, you look at that movie called Soft Light or whatever, Flashlight, or whatever it was in the Oscars. It just popped up. Same thing with the priest. But it's moved on beyond the priest. When you have young kids going to school, there was a soccer coach out here in Bolingbrook arrested last week, sex with an underage teenager, 13 years old. Soccer coach. Schools, they had like three or four of them arrested. They work and they're predators in schools. Then they have people in the schools selling drugs right there in the open in the schools. Parents aren't even going to schools like they used to. I know in Chicago they probably still do, but it's not like it used to be because when they got Rahm Emanuel in there and all these other jokers that came in, they cut out all the local school programs and stuff that they had with the LSCs and things. So the parents are not involved like they used to. They are, but they have no say-so. And they were more concerned than the suburban school kids because you don't see the suburban children, the black parents don't go out to see anything. And you can't communicate with them because they're going to get in a fight with you. So the bottom line is this country is falling down on its heel. So I'm looking at this stuff, you know, do black lives matter? Does it really? How does black lives matter when black people don't matter to each other? If I'm talking to you, I'm talking to everybody, why is a significant amount of my audience white and not a significant amount of my audience black? How come a significant amount of black people out there that complain about all this stuff are not all piled up working on not legislation, but also to try to enforce the Congress and Senate to move forth on the bills that already passed to represent black people? That's what Thurgood Marshall and the rest of them did back in the day. But the thing is, today, you got the smart Negro out there.
The one that's real smart. He knows everything. Smart Negro knows, hey, the law, and the smart Negro sitting there, he's working, getting pat on the head, making $10 an hour, good to go. And it ain't going to say a God rats thing about what's happening in this society, other than, oh, yeah, get on Facebook, make a little tweet or two on Twitter. But as far as fighting for the rights, it's not there. There's very few activists left, and I might be the only one, because the thing is questionable. People call me outside the United States, inside the United States, but mainly white folks are contacting me because their civil rights are being abused, and we ain't doing nothing on our end. And then we have how many trillions of black people going to law school, and where are they at? What are they doing? What's the point? So the bottom line of this program today is just an experience on some of the issues that are going to come forth. Because, see, why I'm sitting here in pain, I don't have a car now. My car has been totaled out. I have head injuries, neck injuries, shoulder injuries, all kinds of injuries that won't be treated. So it's kind of like I was already visited Joseph Mengele. Don't need to go to any place else because Joseph Mengele type of doctoring is going on heavily here in the United States. And heaven forbid if you question a doctor. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. We know your body, but you're sitting in your body trying to tell them what's going on. They don't want to listen because their skill level is training based on what they read in the book and not being compassionate enough to understand the need of a patient to understand that have a doctor that understands what they're trying to relate to them in regards to what is effectively going on in their body. So the bottom line is we are a mindless, soulless entity right now. There are a few of us out here that still are breathing air and understand what's going on. And the other huge pile of us are sitting there with, I don't know, looks on our face. And then the other pile is so intoxicated, so heavily influenced by the pop industry that tells them everything is all good, the industry that tells them go and vote for these characters that are out here, you know, like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and stuff. I don't care what party they are. They're under dubious suspicion. They have not done anything for us. They will not do anything for us. And until you wake up and smell the coffee bean and start saying to yourself, that money that's going to them came out of me laboring all week, and they're getting ready to fire me from my job, and I'm not making minimum wage right now, and they're basically attacking me on the street, and attacking my child. They will not enforce any laws on the book for me, so why am I giving them my tax dollar to do this, that, and the other? Now, the solution is maybe get legislation and ask for a whole separate entity. Let them do what they're doing. Get a whole entity to support the cause for black people. Let them pay for, out of our tax dollars, for black law enforcement that enforces laws for black people only. Black people that have their own Oscar, like they did back in the 20s and 30s. We had our own Negro Leagues and stuff. Imagine if they had that now. We would have had a baseball field. We would have had a stadium. And look how much money the community would have made. We don't have no stadium. I don't care who it is out there that claims it. We ain't got no stadium, and we ain't got no major team. Okay, but we did during that time. And if we had maintained it, guess what? How much money we would have had. So now this is a Black History little message to you. Even though this is March 1st, we're still going to have Black History because it's not a month. It's a daily process to understand where we're at. Now my last little point here, my last one, the Oscars. I happened to catch the movie with Samuel L. Jackson called 8. I happened to catch the movie with Will Smith on Concussion. Okay, Concussion was a very important movie. Why? Because everybody needed to see that. Because your child, who you're forcing or the school's forcing to get into sports, can have head injuries, which leads to concussions, which leads to them having the situation that was in that movie. Now, the doctor in it It was non-significant because of the fact that the doctor happened to be African, from Africa, West Africa, in fact. In fact, I think it was Nigeria. That doctor came up with the reason why that was going on and what needed to be brought forth to the Congress and Senate is the significance of why we look at these sports and understand the reason why people are dying after being in that sport and don't live a long, fruitful life, and they have no money. Very important movie. Okay, Spotlight came out, boom, in the spotlight, about Priest. Important movie, head injuries, your child. Okay, both should have been in the Oscars, indeed, but Spotlight got the spotlight, and Will Smith got the back door, as blacks have. I remember back in the day, Will Smith was not there because he was protesting, they alleged. There were other people who were protesting the Oscars for the same reason. No black movie was represented at the Oscars. Now, the thing is that Chris Rock did a wonderful job in hosting the program. Don't get me wrong. But the bottom line is truth. The truth is that there are very talented people, there are black writers, people that are professionals in the industry that can't get $1, not one penny from the major studios to produce or do anything. They can't get investors. They have to fight, to struggle just to get in the few roles that they're able to get. Talented people. Look at the movie show, TV show Empire. That is squeaky clean the way it's written, the impact, and people want to come and see it again and again. But the thing is, on the major screen, where are we? They had one black character that was in Star Wars, okay? People were complaining about that. Why is he in there? You know, what's the significance of him being in there? They moved in that direction there. But again, they're not focusing in on the works and achievements of blacks in the Oscars. So maybe we need to have our own separate black Oscar. Have the silver, the gold one, or maybe the other one should be made out of black gold. Texas tea. Whole separate Oscar for black people. Because the way this is going, it's not fair. It's not fair. And it's not going to be fair because the justice system isn't fair. It's not just. It's not for black folks. I saw it. I'm fighting that right now. Me, myself, and I have gone to everybody out here supposed to be civil rights activists and stuff, asked them to get involved. Nothing. I have to write these things and do things, and I make moves. I do make movements, and I get things done. But will they hear me? No. I was told years ago I'm too proactive. Can't have a proactive black woman. That's dangerous. You know, you got to be on the ball. You got to do the thing like they tell you to do. Because, see, the bottom line is this country is a red rat for people that are to have, and the have-nots are not moving up and will never be moving up until they change their way and perspective of thinking. Maybe, again, we need to go black. Maybe we need to ask for separate taxes. Have the white taxes and black taxes. Let our taxes be used for black things. Separate. Because evidently this ain't working. Because I don't want my dollars to go to people that ain't doing nothing for me. I don't know how you are. And some of you say, well, you know, I don't want to get involved. I'm not going to do anything. But the bottom line is that they are controlling everything. Major studios. I'm still trying to get the record money from my dad. Universal Studio had Wolf Records over there overseas, and the dude that's down there in New Orleans, they won't even release the true record amounts of money my dad made. My dad wrote Milton Hinton, Lionel Hampton's music. He wrote, he actually scored music, wrote music. The Beatles song, Lady Madonna, not one rat's dime was paid to this family. Not one dime. And that was my dad's riff. But the bottom line is that the Beatles sued somebody else for taking their riff, and they got paid. So the bottom line is the law enforcement for blacks ain't there. I think about the little girl that was black down in one of those places. I'm not sure where it was down south. And they had her chained up in a little shit house, and they actually had her eating that. And they were raping her, all the family members, men and women. She was like 13, 14 years old and trapped in there for years. And you know what? That made the news for 2 minutes. And you know what? Nobody did anything. And the FBI came back and said, well, we don't want to pay and pull the race card. I was the one who reported that all over the place. Or how about the black doctor that had the daughter that was in the military and she gets beaten and raped and sent back in a body bag here in the United States and it comes up and says, oh, she was in a military zone and she got killed. Well, the military zone happened to be a canteen where she went to get a pop in a candy bar. That's where she got raped and killed and murdered. Or how about these girls that are on the street with this thing, with this sex thing or whatever's going on, and they're getting picked up and forced into sex things, rings with gang members and stuff. How about that? Who's doing anything about any of this? Black people, listening to this, wake your ass up. Excuse my language, but wake your ass up. Your kids are being violated. Your kids are being mistreated in the system. And then the thing that makes it even further worse is that the people that are trying to work with you to try to stop this, you violate them too. So if you're doing this stuff, why is it that you have no capability to understand that as long as we attack each other, we have nothing? As long as we murder each other, we have nothing. Those little gangbangers that police call on the street is somebody's kid that was raised by somebody. So what is it that we got that we don't understand that we can raise a nation of people, but we can't raise ourselves out of this treachery? So anyway, this is my end of my show right now tonight. If you want to contact me, it's danne.burley@gmail.com, danne.burley@gmail.com. I'd like to hear from you because this thing needs to be addressed. It needs to be stopped. We need to wake up. We need to stop all this stuff. And black lives don't matter because they don't matter to us. And good night, everyone. And I'll be back on here.